Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Let me begin by saying that this podcast isn't going to be about some new horrible disease that's affecting our pets. On the contrary, semantic contagion is a condition that afflicts humans rather than animals. I came across semantic contagion for the first time several years ago when I was reading an article about various mental conditions in humans. The author and researcher, who I believe was a psychiatrist, had gone through the scientific literature specifically looking for terms that related to mental conditions in humans. And what he discovered was that these followed a particular pattern. Back in the old days when I was growing up, it was not uncommon for people to have nervous breakdowns. And in fact, in that era, the term nervous breakdown appeared quite often, both in the scientific and the mass media. But then nervous breakdowns disappeared. Then we went through a phase where everybody had depression. And that term wound up again in the literature, in the media, and sort of peaked, and then it started to fade. And then pretty soon, this was replaced by attention deficit hyperactivity. Then we moved into autism. Then autism splintered into its various different forms, which is where we are now. I thought this was really interesting because when I was a new graduate in veterinary medical practice, I worked for a guy that we used to kid had meeting-itis. Every time he would come back from a meeting, it would seem that almost every other animal that he examined wound up being diagnosed with a condition that he had studied in that particular meeting. And I found the same thing true with human medical professionals. I remember going to see my dentist shortly after the big flap about the young woman who supposedly contracted HIV from her dentist's dirty instruments. And when I walked in to his examination room, I was stunned. I mean, he had always been a very, very neat and clean practitioner, and he was just absolutely scrupulous about cleanliness and sanitation and sterilization of all of his instruments. So to walk in, and there he is, cap, mask, gloves. Okay, I'm all set with that. But a long lab coat, totally buttoned up to his neck with a collar pushed up around his ears. He looked like Dr. Frankenstein. So my immediate response was, excuse me, you're scaring the crap out of me. And he laughed and said, well, that was what they were supposed to do because somebody decided that this was a safe way to go. Fortunately, that phase ended too, and now he's back to normal, just as my former employer would go back to normal after he had come back to Earth and started to see the world in terms of something else than that diagnosis bug he had caught at the meeting. What does this have to do with animal behavior? Well, a while back I got an email from a friend of mine who lives in a state that had a tremendous amount of flap about pit bulls and breed-specific legislation. And she had noticed what I have noticed, and that is, fortunately, this issue seems to be quieting down. I'm not exactly sure why that is. Maybe it has something to do with the recession. Maybe it has to do with compulsory spay and neuter that some states are considering. Maybe it has to do with Lyme disease. Maybe it has to do with climate change. But whatever it is, a lot of those who are expending a tremendous amount of energy and emotion on breed-specific legislation, and pit bulls in particular, have vanished. And I say, good riddance. Because what had happened, and what always seems to happen when animal-related issues come to the front, is that it attracts the extremes. And so rather than having a reasonable discussion of the subject, whatever it may be, we wind up with those at one end ranting and raging at those at the other, with the media egging them on. And it works exactly like a virus, doesn't it? Just like a cold. I read these passionate pro and anti pit bull or breed specific legislation articles, and they remind me of sneezes by someone who hasn't had the courtesy or the upbringing to know they should cover their mouths. We all get exposed, but eventually, you know what happens? We become immune to them. And that's a shame, in my humble opinion. Not because I enjoy these power struggles between the extremes. I don't enjoy them at all. What's a shame is that the extremes and all of their emotions tend to drown out rational discussion. They tend to preclude the critical thinking skills that are necessary to wade through these sometimes complex subjects. I wish someone would come out with a vaccination for semantic contagion. And I wish there were some way that I could wear a mental mask and cap and gloves to protect myself from this input. But until that wonderful day, we might have to do what I find myself doing more and more. Turning off the newscast, skipping the article, and washing my hands of the entire subject until I can amass enough concrete information that I can make an informed decision about what's going on.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.